I be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease. And may you be happy. May we be filled. I am filled with loving kindness. I am well. I am peaceful and at ease. And I am happy.
So let's take a few minutes now in meditation. So I'll invite you to close your eyes if you like. Put down anything that you might be holding just so you can give yourself permission to relax into the moment. And if you're new to meditation, it's nothing more than getting quiet and turning inward and connecting with that part of us that's sweet and pure and sacred. So breathing in and breathing out. Breathing in. And as we breathe in, we feel that holy, that sacred breath of God. It is the Ruach of God. And Ruach means holy breath. The Ruach of God, we breathe it in. And it settles us. It stills our mind. And it stills our heart. And what we feel, what we sense, is this loving kindness. We are filled with a sense of loving kindness for our family, loving kindness for the people that we meet. A God-given loving kindness for each of us that we share with others, that we ignite with others. Breathing in and that Ruach of God takes us deep into the space of loving kindness. We're there and we feel it and we sense it and we know it. We are filled with loving kindness whenever we like, whenever we choose. And it has nothing to do with outer circumstances. Loving kindness is an inner choice. And let's take that knowing into the silence. Let's take that understanding of loving kindness into the silence and just be with it and let it fill us up in the silence. Spirit of God, we thank you for this glimpse into what's possible. This understanding that we can be filled with loving kindness and it can touch each person that we meet. And so it is, God. So it is. Namaste. Thank you. I love that song. Every time you guys play it. You know, six or seven months ago, I hurt my back, and I've been sitting as sort of a trade-off on my last service. I don't want to do that anymore. So I love the Burning Bowl ceremony, and we're going to I'm going to talk for 5 or 10 minutes, and then we're going to participate in it. The reason that I love the Burning Bowl ceremony is that I think the coming year, 2025, I just think it is filled with possibilities. And yeah, I know, politics enters the scene, blah, blah, blah. When has politics never entered the scene, right? We look at all the possibilities of the coming year, and we just think, what could we fill ourselves with? What new experiences can we have? What new lives can we touch, and how can we enrich ourselves? I love looking at the possibilities that are ahead of us. And it's truly, literally, infinite in terms of what we can do. But first of all, there's some old stuff to take care of, right? That's what the Burning Bowl is for. I think that when we want to have a new building, when we want to do something different, when we want to build something new, it makes sense to take a look at the foundation, right? And so if all we do is take a look at our lives and just slap on a bunch of positive affirmations, I mean, I love affirmations. They're a really good thing. I love positive thought. But what we do too often is build on kind of a shaky foundation. You know, we don't rid ourselves of the things that haven't worked. That's what the Burning Bowl ceremony is for. It's for us to take a look at thoughts and words and actions that are getting in our way and that we'd like to rid ourselves of. And guess what? Age doesn't matter. So if you're still alive, you've got new things to learn. You do not know it all. Now, Next week, Amber gets... I'm sorry for those of you who I disappointed on. Next week, Amber gets to do the White Stone ceremony. And that will be very cool. But right now, it's for us to start thinking about what is it that we need to rid ourselves of that's no longer serving us. I think it makes sense that we understand that we're on a spiritual journey, but don't we make choices sometimes that kind of get in the way? And I think sometimes the choices have been there a long time, and we go, well, can't get rid of that choice now. I've been doing it for 5 years or 20 years or 50 years. Yes, you can. I mean, if there are things that are getting in the way of your spiritual growth, of course we can get rid of those. Yeah, and so think about those things. Think about those choices and those things that may have served you once, but they're not serving you any longer. In fact, maybe they're getting in the way of your spiritual growth. I mean, and just a little example. I'm thinking of my grandson, Noah. Now, my grandson, Noah, is 24. And so for the last year, last 2 years, he has been driving around a wreck of a car. I mean, it's been really bad. But he loved it because that was the car he had, and it was his. And he paid for it with his own money. But here, just a few months ago, he asked Patty and I if we could buy a white Explorer. And we said, sure, of course. And so we sold it to him, and we made him a pretty good deal. And he is so proud of that. Now, that older car served him really well, you know, for a couple of years. But then it was getting in the way. It wasn't getting around. It wasn't doing anything. He couldn't count on it. So what served him well at one point wasn't serving him any longer. And so now he's got this new adventure, this new vehicle, and he is in seventh heaven. I think it's the same for us. I think that there's thoughts that can really get in the way of our spiritual development. And, you know, what would I clump under thoughts? So, you know, beliefs, values, attitudes, ideas. And think about that right now. What thoughts do you hold that no longer serve you? And they may have been great at one point in your life. Just like Noah's wreck of a car was great for a while. But what gets in the way in terms of your thinking? So that's one thing. Second thing, what about how you speak? The words that you speak. You think about that, and you think spoken words or written words. You know, what do you say that hinders your growth? What do you write down that hinders your growth? And in particular, think about any words that you might use that follow the words "I am." I mean, "I am" is a very spiritual statement. I am that I am. Moses is talking to God. And Moses said, "Who am I supposed to say sent me if I go down to Egypt?" And Yahweh says, "I am that I am sent you." He's kind of like, "What?" Yeah, the "I am that I am" has sent you. And what God was saying was, "I am that which I am." And now, just to clarify that a little bit, it's kind of like, how many of us have done something dumb when we go, "Oh, I'm so stupid. Yeah, oh, I am so clumsy. I am, boy, that wasn't a nice thing I did to that person. I am not quite as nice as I thought it was." Yeah, well, the words that follow "I am," I think are essential. I think those are some things that we need to clean up sometimes. So for God with Moses was saying, "I am that I am." He's saying, "I am God. I am the Spirit of God. I'm perfect. That's who sent you." And so I think that's what we need to do for ourselves, for each other, is to think about those choices of words. And it could be spoken, but it could be written too. I mean, how many of us, and I'm not asking for a show of hands, but how many of us have driven along and seen bumper stickers where we go, is that what you really want to declare for yourself? Yeah. So think about that. And that may be something that you'd like to burn up in the burning bowl, some word choices that you've made, because I am is so powerful. And of course, what I think of as the big, I mean, thoughts and words, that's where everything starts. But of course, sometimes we have to take a look at our actions. What is it that we do? What choices have we made? And what choices do we continue to make? Because more than we take a look at what we do and what we read and the TV programs that we watch, and we take a look at the people that we relate to, the people that we spend our time with. I mean, wouldn't it be something if for 1 week you took a log, a diary, of exactly where you spent your time? And every time we do that, that's a choice. I love the fact that here we've got 8 or 9 groups that meet on a weekly basis. I mean, some of them are AA groups, and some of them are God and Coffee and Spiritual Evolution and the New Testament Interpretation. But what I get blown away by is each of those groups seem to hold 12 to 18 to 20 people. I mean, that's a big-time commitment for a church this size, for people who keep coming in and saying, this is where I choose to spend my thinking. This is where I choose to spend my words. This is where I choose to spend my time. What a powerful choice. And so how good, how great to be able to say, there's some things I'm choosing to do that I think I don't want to do anymore in the year 2025. You know, and there's all sorts of examples that are partially thoughts and partially words and partially actions. I mean, sometimes we declare for ourselves, well, I'm just not very good with money. And so we really declare a sense of continuing financial lack for ourselves. Sometimes we say, I've done some dumb things in my life. I don't really deserve this. I don't really deserve any good that might come my way. And I guess last night wasn't any different than any other Sunday that I've ever spent here, which is I lay in bed saying, all right, so am I doing the stuff I'm going to talk about the next day? I hate being a hypocrite. And one of the things I found kind of interesting, at least for me, was that it was a new understanding of the burning bowl. And I thought, I'm sure everybody here has had those nights that you spend in bed and you can't quite get to sleep, and so your brain says, hey, let's select the top 50 mistakes you've ever made and let's review them one by one. And last night was one of those nights for me. And what hit me about the burning bowl is I think sometimes what we can burn up in just a couple of minutes is the mistakes that we've made. We can say, I've asked for forgiveness from those people. I've asked for forgiveness for myself. It's still kind of with me. And so I think it makes sense that sometimes there's some mistakes that we've chosen to do. And what a good, good thing to burn up. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go into a second meditation here. It'll be a little bit shorter. And at the end of that meditation, I'm going to ask you to write down one or two items on that piece of flash paper that you got when you came in the door. And so, first of all, anybody who needs one? Anybody? Just raise your hand if you need a piece of flash paper. No? Okay, cool. We can hand everybody. Well, I know Nancy was making the rounds and making sure we did that right. Thank you, Nancy. So, let's move into meditation again. If we could bring the lights down again, that'd be great. So again, let's just breathe. That's the Spirit of God. Whisper to me. Nudge me. Tell me what it is that I need to give up for the coming year. Whisper to me about the choices, the words, the relationships. Whisper to me about all the different things that no longer serve me, no longer help my spiritual growth, and help me to put them aside. Help me to write them down and so we can burn them up. So I'm going to be quiet now for just a minute. And I just want you to think about that and think about what you'd like to write down in the silence. So thank you, Spirit of God. Thank you for that idea. Thank you for that nudge. And so it is. And so it is. Namaste. So here's what I'd like to ask you to do. And I know many of you have already done it. But if you would, on that piece of flash paper that you have, and hopefully you've got some Sharpies. They write a lot easier. But if not, just write real gently with a pencil or a pen. And use a word or use a short phrase and jot it down on a piece of flash paper. What's going to happen is you're going to have it there, and then we're going to come up here and we're going to burn it up. And it's kind of fun and kind of inspirational and all those things all wrapped into one. So right now, just write. I'll give you about a minute or so to do that. Now, the fun part is Doug thought he was being really quiet. It looks like we're pretty close to done meaning and writing. Here's what I'd like us to do is... We'll go row by row, and in this first row, there's just you, Donna. So what I'd like you to do is when it's your turn, when it's your row's turn, if you just stand, and then what I'd like you to do is go this way and then walk to the back and then come down to the center. I mean, partially it's because it works better that way, so you're not tromping over everybody trying to get to your seats. That's one reason. The other reason is, it's a little bit more ceremonial. It's a little bit more fun. Okay? So let's go. Let's do that now. So, Donna, you're row one.
Dennis.
Yes. Oh, thank you. I did forget. When you're done doing that, if you would roll up your piece of flash paper kind of like a doobie. Yeah. Well, if you leave it all flat, then when you put it in here, it'll flame up on your hand. So if you roll it tight like this, you get another second or two before it starts. Yeah. So thank you for reminding me.
I love you so much, and I'm gonna miss you forever.
And when you do come forward, if you'd use the tongs, I would appreciate it. It's a lot safer. Okay. And now the second row. So go to the outside. You stay right there. I'm going to bring it to you.
No, she's taking it
out
for me.
Oh, okay. Okay, the third row. And then the fourth row over here can go. Scott. Just a second. Whichever road we're up to can go.
Thank you.
Okay. Right, now, I have a list of the people whose flames went more than 7 inches high.
Was yours at the top?
Oh, yeah.